that's where I'll go. You lead me. I will go. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that's the attitude of a true believer tonight. Amen. Lord, wherever I have to go, whatever I have to do, I want your will tonight. Amen. I want your will, your desire for my life. I'll say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. That's what he's looking for tonight. He's just looking for a surrendered vessel. Amen. That he can work through, that he can manifest through tonight. Hallelujah. What power there is tonight in saying, I surrender, Lord. Amen. Don't underestimate the power of that. Amen. The Word of God is an unmovable force if we allow it to work. He set it up this way that we have to allow it to work in our lives. Oh, glory. Amen. I'm so thankful for His mercy tonight, aren't you? Amen. Where would we be without the mercies of God? Amen. The mercy that would come and tell us when we were wrong. Come and show us where we've fallen short. Come and show us His grace and mercy. Amen. It's only His grace that's provided that way for us tonight. Oh, isn't He wonderful, church? Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus again. Amen. Just worship Him. Just enter in and just think about the grace that He's bestowed in your life. Amen. And how worthy He is to follow. Amen. What a wonder to have His will, the will of the God of the universe, manifested in your life. And all we have to do tonight is just say yes. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll say yes. I'll say yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes where you lead me, Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to say yes to you tonight, Lord. Lord, we recognize that you're a gentleman, Lord. You're not going to force yourself into anyone's life, but you come by invitation only. But yet, Lord, we know that you draw. Lord, and you woo and you call. So tonight, Lord, if there's a hunger in any heart tonight, we know it's because you placed that there, Lord. Lord, and that you have something for us tonight. So, Father, we want to just agree, Lord. We want to say yes. We want to say come in, Lord. We want to say take control, Lord. We want to say have the authority, Lord. Lord, we grant you permission tonight to walk the corridors, Lord. To walk down every hall of our life. Lord, throw wide every door. Open every window tonight. Lord, examine every closet in our lives, Lord. Lord, and if there be anything that's not pleasing to you, Father, I pray that you just shine the Holy Ghost light on it tonight. Lord, reveal that thing to us, Lord. Lord, we want to make those things right. We want to make them right, Lord. We want to be pleasing to you. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would anoint your word tonight. Lord, anoint speaker and hearer alike, Lord. We just surrender to you, Lord, and we're looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith, the provider of everything that we have need of. We're looking to no other tonight. We're not looking to any man, Lord, or any man-made idea, but we're looking to you tonight for all that we have need of, spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever it may be, Lord. You have the answer tonight. We thank you, love you. We ask you all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. Thank you, musicians. While I have you standing, let's just turn into the Word tonight. We'd like to read two portions of Scripture to jumpstart us here tonight. John chapter 6 and also Matthew chapter 5. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen tonight. Amen. Y'all happy to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. This little building's come a little long way since I stood up here last. Last time we were using work lights and I had this curtain drawn and had the little portable up here. So, amen. You know, at that time it felt a little bit better than being overseas. But now we've definitely come up. Amen. So this is all right. Thank God for what we have. Amen. Amen. John chapter 6, I'd like to read verse 20. John chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Matthew 5 and verse 6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing into his word. You can be seated tonight. I don't know why I even bothered to put this on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Man, we certainly want to be praying for those that are traveling, and we're missing quite a few tonight. We'll be missing more here in the coming days. But those of us that are going to New Mexico are just looking for a real blessing and believing that you'll be blessed here as well. And Brother and Sister Baker will be blessed and get a time of refreshing. Amen. Tonight, I just have a little subject on my heart. I'd like to speak to you about spiritual food. Amen. So Jesus tells us that we shouldn't look for meat that perish, but meat that endures. Amen. And throughout the Scripture, we see that God uses the imagery of food. Right? And I'll just tell you right now, we're talking about spiritual food, but if you haven't eaten tonight, I'm sorry. Because I was studying for this and I hadn't eaten, and I keep getting hungry and hungry. What's going on? And then it hit me, right? You're thinking about food, dummy. That's why, right? But the Bible uses the imagery of natural food, right? And Christ used it. It's used all through the Scriptures, and it's used as a symbol. In a way to explain a spiritual concept, right? Because everybody can relate to it, right? Everybody hopefully knows what it is like to eat. Everybody knows what it's like to be hungry. Everybody understands the importance of food. It's a concept that every human can grasp, right? So God made it simple. And he teaches us something about spiritual things through these natural subjects. I'm so glad that he did it that way. Amen. Brother, sister, truth is there if you're looking for it. He made it simple. The Bible says that the common people heard him gladly. He didn't go to those with the PhDs. Amen. Although those with a PhD can get it. If they'll look for truth in simplicity. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that God set it up this way. Even the simplest among us can catch this. Amen. The smallest child knows what it's like to be hungry. So Jesus says that there is a spiritual meat. He says there's a natural meat and there's a spiritual meat, and that, he said, endures. It doesn't perish. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get rancid. It doesn't rot. Amen. Something that God would provide for his children, something to give them that would have a everlasting effect. Amen. Something that would endure, not that just the food or the meat itself would endure, but the effect of it. The effects of it wouldn't be just for today. But the effect would go on and on and on and on. Amen. When God does something, he does something permanently. Amen. He does it for the long term. Amen. He's concerned about eternal things. And so when we win victories and when we grow in Christ, that's never taken away from you. Amen? Amen. But, you know, brother, sister, we are concerned so much with natural things. And we are more concerned many times with natural food than we are with the spiritual food. But the spiritual food has the everlasting effect. I want to also read a scripture out of, continuing out of John chapter 6, just a little further down in verse 50. He says, This is the bread of life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Talk about meat that doesn't perish. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You must eat this spiritual food to have life. You must eat natural food to have life. Amen. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This sounds pretty important. Amen. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. This is not literal bread. This is not literally eating Jesus Christ of Nazareth's body or drinking his blood literally. Right? This is feasting on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Amen? This is spiritual food he's speaking of. But you know, I was saying a moment ago that we are so concerned with physical food. And so much so that I think many times we have too many pampered bodies. Amen? That are homes to starving souls. Think about that. Amen. But they thought Jesus was crazy. Amen. They thought he was a vampire. They thought he was some sort of, you know, cannibal or something. What was he talking about? He was talking about something that they couldn't understand. He was speaking about a realm. He was speaking about a spiritual life, a spiritual bread in a realm that they couldn't see. They couldn't comprehend it. Amen? They certainly couldn't partake of it. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't even perceive or know that the kingdom of God is there. Amen? The only way you can perceive it or contact it is through that new birth. So you can't partake of that spiritual food through natural thinking. Amen. But I want to look tonight just at some of the, since this is a type, natural food is a type of the spiritual. Let's just talk about, I told you, we'll try not to get hungry here. Right? But what is it about eating, right, that we can find that will instruct us in the spiritual realm? Because what we are doing is we are taking in sustenance for our life. If you don't eat, you won't live very long. Now, you can go longer without food than you can without water, but you can't survive, right? You must take in sustenance, food and water. Receiving life in this fallen condition. Amen. Now, that's important because our bodies are fallen. So we must eat off of something that has died. It must be something that was living at one time. Amen. Although we need minerals, like minerals from, you know, that you'd find in the ground or in the rock, trace elements, that won't sustain us alone. We must have something that was living. It must have had life in it. And then we take that thing that had life in it and we bring it into our own bodies. And it provides the nutrients for our life to be sustained. Amen? So, you know, physical attributes of food, you know, we have a desire. Right? We call it hunger. Amen? We have a desire for something and that causes us to go out and get what we have need of. Whether it's through the drive-thru at Taco Bell, right? Or it's running out into the wilderness to shoot something, right? We're trying to find food, right? You got a desire. There's a hunger, right? Some people have a certain taste for things. Some people, you know, in the morning they crave donuts or they need coffee first thing, right? There's a craving that's going on because their body's saying, I need caffeine. I need caffeine. Amen. Above everything else. So then we prepare the food, you know, somehow we cook it or whatever it takes, we prepare it and then we bring it into our bodies. It goes into our bodies and it wouldn't do any good just to go in and out the other side, right? It must be absorbed. The nutrients must be drawn out of it. And then those nutrients must go into our bloodstream, right? And they feed the body. They help repair damaged cells. They provide energy to our cells, right? They help our body sustain its life. But if we never absorbed any of it, it wouldn't do us any good. Is that right? So that food that we ingest actually becomes part of our bodies. Those proteins and things that you eat, they grow out and become hair, right? They become skin cells and things in your body. They become part of you. You're actually what you eat, right? They say you are what you eat. You are. Everything that you are came from the food that you eat and so on, right? And we know that the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that cometh from the Father, right? So that life that comes from the living word is the same thing. We've got to take it in. We've got to absorb it. It has to become part of us. To just take it in and then have it go out doesn't do any good. Amen? So this hunger and this thirst and this desire, it's subconscious. You don't just think, you know what, I need to be hungry right now. Right? You don't have to tell your body, body, get hungry. Just your body will automatically do it. Right? Just the mere suggestion of me talking about donuts. And then something starts to happen, right? You get a little saliva going, right? You start to, your mouth waters, something good. You smell something, right? Those are reactions that just happen. You don't have to consciously do it. And the other thing is you can't really explain it to someone. Imagine somebody who never had a hunger, who was never hungry. Try and explain it to them. You know, well, I get this funny feeling in my stomach and I just feel empty and I feel run down. I feel like I need energy. I just feel like I need something. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I can't explain it to you, but there's something that I need. It's a desire. It's a strong desire. Oh, amen. Amen. Think about trying to explain someone who's never experienced that spiritual hunger. I can't explain it to you. It's a desire. It's a need. I need more of him. I need to be in his presence. Amen. I need to pray. I need to hear his word preached. I need to come to church on a Wednesday night. I need to get recharged. I've got a hunger. I've got a thirst. Amen. And somebody who's never experienced that, they can't relate to that. What do you mean? It's like this funny feeling in your stomach. What? You know, like what? Like butterflies? Well, no, not exactly. It's just an empty feeling. Amen. There's something that will satisfy that emptiness. Amen. I know that there's something tonight. Amen. That will meet this thirst. I'm thirsting because there's a water. Amen. My mouth is dry. I can feel, you know, the dehydration in my body. It's sapping my energy. I need something tonight. But there's a water. The reason that I'm hungry and the reason that I'm thirsting is because there's something tonight to satisfy it. But a non-believer, they can't understand that. Right? And you can't understand, how could they not be thirsty? Amen. Amen. Because you've always, you know, there's been something in you that wants to please God. Right? Maybe even when you were in the world, yet something was pulling you. You knew that there was a God. You knew that there was something missing. Amen. When you began to hear the call, when you began to hear, maybe you heard that word for the first time. There is a God. He is your Father. He is your Creator. Amen. Something began to stir and create a little hunger. Amen. Your spiritual stomach began to get a little hungry. Amen. Your mouth began to water a little bit. You say, hey, wait a minute. That's for me. Amen. I know that I've got a Father out there. Amen. I know he loves me. I know he created me. Amen. And there began to be a hunger. Hallelujah. If that hunger in your life, if you are truly hungry or truly thirsty in the natural, it will become an overriding force. It will become, it can come to the place where it's the most important thing to you. Amen? If you don't believe me, just fast a little while. Amen, man. Everything goes out the window. Right? Don't talk to me about work right now. I'm hungry. Right? Lunchtime rolls around, and it's like, you know, people, this happens to me anyway. If you can't relate to that, I'm sorry. But, you know, you won't get it. But for me, man, lunchtime rolls around. It's getting close, right? I can feel it. I'm getting hungry. People are coming to my office. Hey, let's get, you know, do this. No, man. No. It's almost lunchtime. Priorities. Right? Meetings, they're going up till it's like, you know, it's getting close to lunchtime. Why? Because you can't function. I will be a better employee after I eat. Amen. But you become really hungry or thirsty sometime. You know, people will do crazy things. You ever heard of the Donner Party? Yeah. If you didn't, they became cannibals, right? They kill, eat a human. People will eat crazy things. Things that you would not ordinarily touch. If you become hungry enough, you'll eat it. Amen? You'll eat anything because of that desire. It becomes so strong. You say, no, not me. You become hungry enough. You become thirsty enough. You never know. It's a strong desire. Everything else takes a back seat. Amen? It becomes a matter of life and death. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what would a spiritual hunger do to a believer? Amen? Amen. I remember, you know, and Brother Branham said, you got to get this way. When you are seeking the Holy Ghost, he said, you better be serious with God. You got to get to the place where you will say to God, Lord, you're either going to come give this to me, or you're going to find a bag of bones right here. Because it's life and death. If I don't receive this spiritual food, I'm going to die. I'm going to stay here until I get filled, until I get what I have need of. Amen. Brother, sister, it's serious. Amen. When you really need natural food, you don't mess around, right? It's serious. It's life and death. It becomes an overriding force. Brother Bram says this in The Power of Decision. He says, now they went and got some of this manna. You know, David must have tasted a little of that. Did you ever taste any of this spiritual manna? I've seen people get so full of it till they lick their lips. I have. Just a real gastronomical jubilee. Amen. Spiritual speaking. Oh my, it fills you out. You know when you get real weak and you eat a great big square meal, how good you feel? Amen. Why? Because it's life to you. Amen. It's something that you need. It's something you are missing. You know that you weren't right. You know that you weren't whole. You know that you couldn't do what you were supposed to be doing because you didn't have the strength. You just needed some spiritual food. Amen? He says, you know when you get real weak and you eat a great big square meal, how good you feel? You know a fellow will go to a doctor and say, doctor, I'm sick, I'm weak. Say, what's the matter? I don't know. He asks him a little physical things. Well, yes, that's all right. He says, well, when did you eat last? Well, I ate half a cracker day before yesterday. Brother, you're just hungry. I wonder how many of the problems in the church are because we're just hungry. Amen. Because we've filled it up with other things. We've eaten things that maybe will temporarily just put off the hunger, but doesn't actually nourish us. It doesn't provide strength to us. It isn't actually that meat that doesn't perish. He said, brother, you're just hungry. He said, that's what's the matter with the church today. It's anemia or anemic, right? When you're anemic, you don't have the energy because of your blood. He says, because you're not getting enough spiritual food. If they got the Bible, brother, it would put the blood of Christ into the veins of the believer. New life. Life comes from the blood. Amen. The anemia condition of the church, pitiful, pale cheek, my. We need a transfusion to start us off. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need nourishment all the time. But we need different types of nourishment for different stages of our life. Is that right? You know, when you were a baby, you ate milk, right? And the Bible says that we desire the sincere milk of the word. We grow up and then we can have and feast on the meat of the word. Right? And so different stages that we're in our Christian walk, different stages in life, we need different nutrients. We need to eat differently. Amen. If a sister is in the stage of life where she's carrying a baby, she eats differently. Right? And when you're a teenager and you're growing like 6 inches a month, you eat differently. Usually it's just volume. Right? It's anything within reach. Why? Because they're growing. They're pushing out. They're expanding. Amen? As you get older, you start to look at what you're eating a little bit more closely and you try and pick your calories, pick your diet appropriately. Amen? But it's appropriate for the stage of life that you're in. And your body will actually crave and desire the things that you need for that stage in life. And that means we can have ice cream all the time, because that's what we desire, right? No. Amen. But if we tried to stay on the milk, what would happen? As a man, milk will give you some fortification, right? It can be part of a good diet, but it's not gonna sustain you. It's not gonna give you what you have need of as an adult. As a baby, if you try and eat a steak, it's not gonna be able to digest it. It's not gonna be able to chew it up and to get anything out of it. But I'm so thankful that God brings His Word just where we need it. Amen? And he brings it at a level right where we can understand, right where we can receive it, right where it'll bring us benefit. Brother, sister, what we're talking about is feeding the spiritual man. We're talking about feeding a different life. Amen. Because you've been born again, and the prophet said that was a new and distinct life. Amen. It's a new born again life, and it must be sustained by different things. In the animal kingdom, different life is sustained by different things. Right? A sheep doesn't eat the same things that a lion eats. Unless the lion eats the sheep. Then the lion ate the same thing that the sheep ate. Circle of life, right? A crow can eat anything, just about. Right? A crow is happy to sit with a buzzard on some roadkill. And a crow is happy to eat stuff out of the bird feeder. And a crow is happy to eat fresh food. He'll eat just about anything. Right? But an eagle wants fresh meat. And a dove, he can only eat very specific food. Right? That's why Noah let a dove go. He let the crow, the raven go, right? And he was probably out there floating on some dead body. Right? But when he let the dove go, he knew that dove would only land when there was life, plant life coming forth. Amen. And he brought him that, you know the story. Because a dove will only eat certain things. So certain life can only eat certain things. Amen. Amen. Why do we try and feed the spiritual life the wrong thing so many times? Amen. It just clogs up the system. It just makes you sick. Amen. We've been changed to a dove nature. We've been likened to a sheep. We've been likened to an eagle. Eagles eat specific things. Sheep eat sheep food. Doves eat dove food. We don't eat pig food. Amen? It's not that a sheep eats sheep food and that makes it a sheep. A sheep eats sheep food because it is a sheep. Amen. That's why you've got a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. That's why you can only receive the Word of God. The living Word of God. The revealed Word of God. The Word that comes anointed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Word of God that has real eternal life in it. amen, a sheep will only look for that kind of food. We're not interested in denominational, right? We're not interested in intellect. We're not interested in anything that has to do with any man's ideas. We're interested in God's thoughts. We're interested in power, not dead letter word. Amen. I'm not interested in studying the word so that my mind can be stimulated. I'm interested in getting into the word so that I can consume it and eat it. Amen. And become more like the living God. To get more power in my life. Amen. I want more virtue. I want more faith. That's what it'll take to do it, brother, sister. Amen. We got to eat the right kind of vitamins. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, did you ever see how an independent and old eagle walks? He don't hop like a vulture. See to every dead and all the carrion laying on the ground? No, sir, he walks proud. Shut your mouth, he says. Oh, here's a good dinner over here. Not for me. Not for me, he says. Why? Because I'm an eagle. I can only eat fresh meat. Amen. There's a certain kind of food that I'm looking for that's going to feed this soul. Paul said all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Amen. You can eat whatever you want. You can listen to whatever you want. It doesn't unchristianize you. You can listen to the wrong kind of music. You can listen to the wrong kind of words. You're still a child. Amen? But it might make you a little spiritually sick. It's not going to build you up in the faith. It's not going to give you strength against the enemy. Only the right kind of food will do that. I said, oh, here's a good dinner over here. Not for me. I don't listen to that old stuff. I only listen to the word of God. He says, see, my desires has been changed. My appetite is different. For man shall not live on the world a carrion alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. A genuine quickened eagle lives by that. Amen. 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 How many eagles are here tonight? He says, oh, and he raised up Christ from the dead, from the grave, dwelling in you. He has quickened your mortal body under his presence, and you recognize it. You're no longer a scavenger. You're an eagle. You don't want the things of the world. You're a son and a daughter of God. You're feasting at a fountain that the world knows nothing about. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They wonder why we sing and shout. Because there's a fountain that they know nothing about. Amen. He says, you're drinking it. The world knows nothing about it. You're eating hidden manna. And the world never knew nothing about it. You're an eagle. You're quickened up where you can get to it. You can't get to it down here. You got to get up here. You got to be quickened and lifted up there. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, there is a spiritual food comes in all forms. It can be the right kind and the wrong kind, but it comes in thoughts and ideas and anointings and words. You get in the wrong kind of atmosphere and you feed on it. You may not realize it. It has an effect on you. Amen. You're reading the wrong kind of thing. You're thinking about the wrong thoughts. You're in the wrong anointing. Amen. It's like eating moldy bread. It'll make you sick. Amen. But oh, brother, sister, when we get under the anointing of the Rhema word, the living word, that's our spiritual food. Amen. Listen to this. He says, Joseph, a perfect type, standing there like the Jews returning in the last days at the end, coming to the millennium when the Jews will be saved again. He's talking about Joseph as a type, Israel in the church. And Joseph, you know how he was sent there, how Israel sent down his children and they got a little corn and they were starving to death, right? Israel, down to Egypt, they were starving. They got a little corn, they were starving to death. Joseph had interpreted the king's dream, how he had put up the corn, and it was the only place in the world that had food. Amen. Joseph as a type of Christ. They were out in the desert, and they were starving. But they had to come to the storehouse of Joseph, representing Jesus. Listen to what he says now. That was the only place in the world that had food. Perfect of the church today. Amen. The church today. Not an organization. No matter who's running it. Right? The only place spiritual food is given out. It's not a place in Jeffersonville. Right? He says the only place spiritual food is given out is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. From the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So you can go take some old church creed, recite a few apostles' creeds, whatever you want to. But brother, the Spirit lays in the born again church of the living God. It's the only where there's food. The born again church of the living God is where the spiritual food can be handed out. Why? Because that's where Christ is. Amen. That's where he dwells. Amen. That's where he's working. Oh, hallelujah. It's the only where there's food. He says, and them Jews is going to recognize that one of these days. And then they're coming. They're coming, he says. Well, they're going to come to the church. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we know that the best way, if you look at animal life, if you ever raise animals, pets or whatever, raise animals for food, the best way to take an animal and protect it, they'll inject them with all kinds of things, right? But the best way to keep an animal healthy is to feed it right. To keep it in the right atmosphere. To keep it healthy and give it the right food. If you take your pet to the vet and there's something wrong with it, the first thing that they're probably going to ask you is, are they eating? What are you feeding them? Are they off their food? Have they been, right? That's like one of the first things. Because if they're eating the right kind of thing, usually then everything else takes care of it. Right, amen. Amen. God designed it that way. Brother Branham said that we are not hotbed plants. Right? We are a plant that's made to be native. In this case, he was talking about the desert. Right? We are like plants that are natural and hardy. And he said that those hardy plants, they're made for that environment. And they know how to pull the nutrients out of the ground and they can survive in those elements. And when they thrive and when they have strength, they can resist any insect or disease. Amen. Amen? Such is the body of Christ. Amen. It all starts with how we are feeding. Amen. Amen. The health of the body of Christ flows from the right kind of spiritual food, nourishing us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to eat every day, spiritually and naturally. If we're feeding on the right kind of spiritual ideas and atmospheres, then our immunity to wrong doctrines and wrong spirits will be built up. But if we're not, we become susceptible to those things. We become a target. Well, we're always a target, but we become an easier target for the devil, right? We're not as keen. We're not as focused, and we might not see the spirits that are at work. Amen. Our spiritual eyes and ears are not as attuned when we're not feeding on the right things. Brother Bram said, if you want to know a counterfeit dollar, you handle the real one. Same thing with the word. Amen. the genuine will inoculate you against the false. Amen. So it comes from what we read. It comes from what we listen to. It comes from what we watch. It comes from the people we're around. It's what we put our attention on. It's what we focus on. It's what becomes priority in our life. Those are the things that we are spiritually feeding on. Amen. So the question is, do we get spiritual food just by reading our Bible? Do we get spiritually fed just by coming to church? Do we get spiritually fed by listening to a sermon? That's the question. We're talking about spiritual food. We're talking about being spiritually fed, right? So what if the word goes forth and let's just say it's a call to repent? If we don't repent, have we been spiritually fed? Did we absorb the nutrient? Amen. Are Bible scholars that read the same Bible you and I do, are they being spiritually fed? Maybe in some cases, but just by coming to church, I mean, you could just sit in your pew and the word could just go forth and you could be completely unaffected. Amen? You came to church, but you didn't get spiritually fed. Why? Because your attitude was wrong. Amen. We've got to receive it. We've got to take it in. We've got to do what it says. Amen. That's why we don't just preach about listen to the prophet, listen to the prophet, listen to the prophet. We preach what the prophet preached. And we say do what the prophet did. Amen. We exhort to do what he said. Not just pointing to him. But let's do what the word said. Let's be what he preached about. Amen. There is a bride, brother, sister, that is uniting with the word. She is taking those nutrients and it is becoming part of her. She is uniting with it. Amen. Amen. There is a body that's being built up in faith. Amen. In that faith and virtue and all those attributes. We have a natural form of all of those except for that capstone. Did you ever think about that? Faith, natural. You got a natural form of faith. But he wants to give you his supernatural faith in exchange for your natural faith. Amen. You've got to do an exchange of nutrients. Amen. He's got virtue for you tonight. He's got knowledge for you. Not your knowledge, his knowledge. Amen. He's got patience for you tonight. He's got temperance. He's got godliness. He's got brotherly kindness to give you in exchange for your own. You may have in the natural the patience of Job, as they say. But that's not his patience. Amen. He wants to give you. You need that spiritual food, that spiritual nutrient. Amen. And then he takes his charity, as we've been hearing Brother Baker preach, and caps it off. And it's added to us. She's receiving something from the Master's hand. Oh, hallelujah. You know that song, Bread and Fish Upon the Fire? Eating from the Master's hand. Jesus himself cooked up some bread and fish for his disciples. Well, that's what he's doing, brother, sister. He has a nutrient. He has food, spiritual food for you. You can receive from his hand. Amen. Hallelujah. It's his doing, not ours. Oh, glory. Oh, think about it now, church. Remember in Revelation chapter 6. Amen. Where it says, look, there's a measure of wheat for a penny, right? And three measures of barley for a penny. And you know, the prophet said that that was the churches. That was the denominations. That was the Catholic system. Selling life. He said that that wheat and that barley represented life as food, right? Sustenance. He said that represented symbolically spiritual life that they were trying to sell. Amen. But you can't sell eternal life. Amen. Then he said the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. It was God, the Lamb. The voice came and it was him speaking. And he said, hurt not the oil and the wine. Amen. He said, I've got a revelation. I've got a stimulation of revelation. I've got a life represented by the oil of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't hurt that. Oh, hallelujah. It came from him. He's the one bringing life to the church tonight. Hallelujah. But he's doing it his way. And if we don't do it his way, we won't receive from him. He told Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, Peter. Don't delegate it. You do it. Feed them. Feed my sheep. That's my provided way. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not from churches. It's not from men. It's from him. But that's the way he does it. That's the way, brother, sister, that we are eating of the tree of life. Amen. Partaking of his life. He says, eating. To him that overcometh, will I grant to eat of the tree of life. Well, is it a literal fruit? Well, he's talking about life. In other words, talking about receiving from him. Pulling from him what you have need of. Amen. Receiving, having access to him. The tree of life represents Christ. If you're eating off the tree, that means you have access to him. That means you can go directly to him and get what you have need of right now for this situation. Lord, I'm hungering and thirsting. I don't know what I need. I've just got a hunger. I've just got a need. I'm just feeling weak. I've got worry. I've got fear. I've got something in my life. I don't know what it is. It's not right. Lord, come and eat of the tree of life. Amen. Hallelujah. He is replacing our unbelief, our sin with life. He's taking out the old human attribute and replacing it with his attributes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Swapping out sin, swapping out death with life. Little by little, nutrient by nutrient. Amen. Glory unto glory. Brother, sister, we are pushing death back. You ever think about that? Amen. The prophet said that we're like that little pond lily, right? That was birthed down in the bottom of the scum and the muck of the pond. And it has to grow and grow and push out. And brother, sister, it's got to push out death. It's got death all around it. Amen. It's surrounded by mud. Looks disgusting, right? Looks impossible. But there's life there. Amen. It's been pulling some nutrients where it was planted. Amen. And something, new life is flowing through it. And it's got to push out. It's got to push out and up and up and up and higher and higher. Until it breaks free of this old muck of the earth. Amen. And it blossoms out into the sunlight. Hallelujah. Amen. Pushing back death. Death is all around us. Death is in our own members. Amen. But through his life, through his spiritual food, we are pushing back death. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Bible says, I will give him hidden manna. Hidden manna. Amen. Everybody out there tonight? Okay. Praise the Lord. I've skipped several statements here. In the interest of time. But in questions and answers. He says this. In the Bible, we just come through it here in the church ages. Jesus is the hidden manna. Christ is the church's manna. What is manna? Manna in the Old Testament was that which come down from heaven, fresh every night, to sustain the church in its journey. Now, if they didn't eat the manna, they didn't eat. If they didn't eat the manna, they starved. They died. That was it. That was God's provided food for them. Amen. They couldn't just say, you know what, I really don't like this. I'm not going to eat. Well, that's it. You ate what God provided. He said, now in the New Testament, what is that hidden manna? A little while and the world seeth me no more. Hidden. Oh, hallelujah. A little while and the world seeth me no more. But what did he say? Ye shall see me. Amen. The hidden manna isn't hidden to you. Amen. A little while in the world see me no more hidden, yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you to the end of the world. And Christ is that hidden manna that comes from God out of heaven afresh every day. Every day. Every day. Manna. Fresh. Every day. I believe that's why the prophet said we got to read our Bible and pray every day. It's fresh manna every day. Well, we can't say, well, 2 weeks ago I had a great experience of God. Well, what about right now? See? Every day. Fresh. A new blessing. A new something coming from God. The hidden manna coming down from God out of heaven. Christ. And we feast upon this manna, which is Christ, and he sustains us through the journey till we reach the land on the other side. Now that's what he meant by feed my sheep. Amen. That's what he told Peter, right? He said we'd get on that and we'd never get to the rest of the questions, because that's a good one for me. I like that. When I talk of Christ being the manna and the food for the sheep, feed them Christ from his word. See? Take the word of Christ just exactly the way it's wrote here and give it out to the sheep. No matter what anybody else says, oh, they need a hamburger. Don't you believe it? Here's what they need right here. This is it. See? Give them this. This is sheep food. That's what makes them grow. The Holy Spirit, this is his word, his commission. The word is a seed. The seed breathes forth a plant. The plant we eat. Now this is what brings forth the plant that the Holy Spirit thrives on in the church, or is the church. It feeds upon the church. The Holy Spirit does, rejoicing in the presence of God because that the people is believing his word and letting him work through them. Giving them the very things that God promised them that they would do. And God sees his church growing, therefore the sheep's being fed and the Holy Spirit's being glorified. That's it. Feed my sheep. All right? Amen. Brother, sister, faith only grows in the vitamin of the word. You want your faith to grow? There's only one thing that's going to make it grow. It's the vitamin of the word. Amen. Brother Ron says, not vitamin R, reasoning. Right? He names off a whole bunch of other ones. I forget what they all are. But it's the vitamin of the word. That's what we got to feed on. Amen. You know the story that he tells about the calf in the stall? There was one that was well fed through the whole winter. And when he came out in the springtime, man, he was just frolicking around and having a good time. He was well fed. He was energetic. He was jumping around. He was happy. Imagine that. And the other calf that had just fed on weeds, he had malnourished, he came out and Brother Branham said the littlest breeze would blow him over. And he looked at that other calf and he said, what a fanatic. Such fanaticism. Amen, but he didn't have what he had. Amen, he was missing some nutrients. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith only grows by the word of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says in wisdom versus faith. He says faith only grows in one vitamin. it only has one vitamin. I don't have any mixture at all. Faith grows in one vitamin. That's the word. That's the only thing that faith can grow in, is the word. And the only way it can grow is because it believes the word, and it has to take all the word and believe it's true. And he says, faith vitamin is spelled in a little four-letter word, L-I-F-E, life. It has vitamin L, faith has. Vitamin L for life, right? Wisdom has vitamin P and vitamin R, pleasure and vitamin reason, and all these other vitamins. Knowledge has all that, wisdom has that, and it reasons it out. But faith only has one thing, life. That's all that'll stay. Thy word is life. Thy word is truth. Amen. We have God's word. We have God's life. Amen. Okay, so all of that to get to this point. The point that I wanted to make tonight, all right? Our attitude towards the word is what matters. I'm going to read you a little statement. I want you to follow me real carefully here. All right? Everybody awake?
Amen.
Amen. Shake your neighbor. Shake your neighbor. Everybody awake? Elbow? Okay. This is important. Nobody's thinking about DQ or anything like that, right? Ruined it. Now we're thinking about Krispy Kreme donuts. None of that stuff is good for you. We're talking about real food here tonight. We're talking about a sizzled steak. Amen. With grilled onions and mushrooms on it. A feast for a future king or priest. Amen. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Now listen to this, brother, sister. Brother Brown begins to talk about a baby in a mother's womb. Amen? And he says this. He said, now if God, in his mercy, he says, now if the mother before that little baby is born is craving for some vitamin, right? We've talked about this before. They crave crazy things because they need something. And the mother's word speaks forth. Dad, I want a cantaloupe or a watermelon. I want something or other. Right? I want peanut butter and pickles. I want whatever it is. Well, we don't have that, dear, but I'll go to the store and get what you need. He says, why? He'll do everything he can to get that because he knows that he wants his child born as perfect as it can be. Amen? So, you know, a mother who maybe she never ate right in her life, but she gets pregnant. You've seen women that, not believers of course, but women that smoke, drink, whatever, they have all these bad habits, and then they get pregnant and something happens. And they'll stop for the sake of the baby. He says, if a father will do everything he can to get that, because he wants his child born as perfectly as it can be, and he'll do everything that he's able to do to get it. How much more abler, he says, is he to get it? In other words, to get what you need. Not only is it just a craving, he knows exactly what you need. How much more abler is he to get it? Amen. He's the creator. Now think about how able he is, listen to this, to prepare us a body. He's preparing us a body. That's what this is all about, right? To live like his own glorious body. If we want to live. Now listen, there is something in us that calls to live. What is it? That's a hunger. Amen. That's why we came to God. He drew us. But there was something in us that wanted to live. That's why we came tonight. You say, I didn't really want to come. I just came because, well, there was something in you. Amen. There's something in you that wants life. He said, there's something in us that calls to live. And there's, listen to this, something in us that calls to do right. This is what Brother Doug's been preaching about, the condition of the heart. That's what the Bible says, that the Son of God does not commit sin because his seed remains in him. Right? In that seed, there is no sin. There's something in you that wants to be right. He says, then God will call somebody on the platform or the pulpit. Somebody on the platform or the pulpit. Not to play a tape. Amen. Somebody on the platform or the pulpit that will preach the absolute truth. Amen. Why? See, it shows you. Oh, look at it, brother, sister. The whole reason that we are preaching is because there's something in you that wants to live. There's a desire, a hunger in you that wants to be right, that wants to be that perfect body. So he says, because of that, God will call somebody to the platform or the pulpit that will preach the absolute truth. Why? It shows you. Then if you're a real child of God, you begin to cry out, God, take it away from me. Circumcise me from this. What's he talking about? The truth comes, it's preached. To show you where you're wrong. To show you the unbelief in your life. Amen? He says, and then there's something in you. A real child will cry out, God, take it away from me. That word is feeding me. Oh, do you see it? That's the hunger. That's the food that satisfies the hunger. It's the hunger in you that says, I want to be right. I want to go on with God. I want to go up higher. I don't want to stay where I am. I want to come on a Wednesday night because I need something from God. Lord, I want to be right. I want more of you. Right? And then he said, and that's the child. Then he'll bring the word. Right? The word says, okay, you want more of me? Then cut this out of your life. And then the child says, God, take it away from me. What do they do when the child says that and responds that way? They're feeding on that word. They're receiving that word. Amen? Where it says, be zealous therefore and repent. Amen? The word comes and it says, this is not right. Get that out of your life. And the child says, no. They weren't a child. I would question whether they were a child. Maybe for a season, they would just say no. Right? They're not feeding on the word. They've rejected the food. They've spit it out. Amen? So he says the child begins to cry out, God, take it away from me. Circumcise me from this. In other words, cut it off. Right? Circumcision is cutting off the flesh. Cut off the unbelief. Cut off the fleshy parts in my life. Cut off my thinking in this way. Lord, help me think your thoughts. Cut out the desires, Lord. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to think like that. I don't want to think like the world. Take these things away from me. Why? Listen to what he says. It's needed for your heavenly home. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, sister, we're getting built up into something. Amen. In the natural, you're feeding your child. You're building them up. They're growing up and you're nurturing them and feeding them so that they will grow up into adulthood. Amen. But God is building up a body. He says, It's needed for your heavenly home that you're going to, where he's gone on to prepare. He says, you got to be a real word bride of Christ. And then further down in that same message, he says, see what I mean, little children? Do you feel the need of that vitamin tonight? That something? There's a body waiting yonder. There's a body waiting to be received. People, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. The devil is a deceiver. The wedding garment, you must wear it. It must be. We're at the evening time. This earthly body is now ready to be dissolved. And we're preparing to enter into the heavenly. Amen. The rapture is soon at hand, brother, sister. Amen. We need to keep reminding ourselves he's coming soon. Amen. It's gone on and gone on longer than we think, but he's coming soon. He could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. We've got to be ready at all times. He says we're preparing to enter into the heavenly. And now we feel that strange call of God to go to this great Eden. And before we can be born here, now listen to this. Before we can be born here, our little bodies cried for something. He's gone back to that example, the baby in the womb. When it was crying out for something and the mother had to go provide that need. Or the father had to go get it for the mother. That little body cried for something that had to be provided, or we'd be an afflicted child if we wasn't. But God has no afflictions up there. Everyone perfectly lined up, the bride just exactly like the groom was. The word manifested in its season. God, grant tonight, children, each and every one of you, there is a heaven to go to and there's a hell to stay away from. So that's what makes the difference. A true child wants life. They want that food. They want to say, Lord, I want to be right. I want to lay it down. That's my goal. Heaven's my goal. Amen. He said, what you're doing now is preparing for that. Think about it. We are growing, brother, sister, to match that new body. You ever think of it that way? We're a match. When we leave, if you're a predestined child of God, whether you leave by way of the grave or you're part of the rapture, when that happens, you have become the perfect match for that that's waiting for you. Brother Branham just said they're all perfect. Amen? All of them, he said, perfectly lined up. The bride just exactly like the groom. Every member of that bride that's gone and what we call died, passed on, they went when they were ready to be matched. Because there's no more perfecting once they've crossed over. They're ready to be matched with that body. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. They've absorbed all the nutrients they need to. They've come up and eaten that spiritual food. Amen. We have a body, something calling us to live, to do what's right. The preaching of the word calls us to, God, take it away. Anything that doesn't match that, take it away. That's receiving spiritual food. When an eagle is being raised up, man, let's stand tonight. When an eagle is being raised up from a little baby, it's nurtured in its nest by its mother. The musicians, you come. It's being nurtured and fed by its mother. But there comes a time when that eagle's outgrown that nest. And that mother takes what was once a nice, comfortable nest. It was all lined with feathers, soft, comfy, warm. And it begins to pull those feathers out. And all that's left and all that's exposed is the prickly sticks that made that nest. And it begins to get uncomfortable in there. And those chicks are getting bigger. Right? And they don't fit as well as they used to. And it's not right. And it's not the way it used to be. They're getting uncomfortable. And Mama Eagle has made them that way. It was her fault. I blame Mama Eagle. She made me uncomfortable. I was so happy in my little nest. But the baby eagles weren't made for the nest. That nest is just for a season. That baby eagle is meant to be an eagle and fly. It's meant to fly in the heavenlies. In that nest, man, when a storm would blow through, they would just have to hunker down and just let the rain beat on them. When the hot sun would come out, they would, you know, kind of try and get in the shade or whatever. They were subject to the elements. But they weren't made for that. They were made to be an eagle. When the storm comes, the eagle just flies on above it. So they begin to get uncomfortable. And one day, Mama says, come on out. We're going to do flying lessons. Amen. Little eagle, it's time for you to fly. And that little eagle might have said, Mama, I'm not ready. But Mama knows what she's doing. She waits to the exact perfect time when that eaglet, those little baby eaglets are ready to fly. And she puts them on her back and she flies up. And man, they might, higher than they've ever been before. They've been in the nest. They've never been this high. And oh, the wind is blowing and man, this is getting pretty, this is cool, right? We're up on Mama's wings. Look at this. Look at how far down it is. And this is what it means to fly. I'm an eagle now. Not yet. Amen. There's more trials. There's more dying out to do. So Mama Eagle, she takes that little eaglet. She says, yes, it's beautiful up here. This is where we're meant to live. But you got to soar on your own. So she just dumps them out. Right? You know the story. Right? They just tumble and, oh, we're falling. Mama, save me. And Mama's right there with them. And they're flopping and they don't know what to do. But they're eagles. And they're her babies. Oh, isn't it wonderful? No matter, brother, sister, how far you fall, our Papa Eagle's always there. She's always watching right over them. And if they can't get quite going, just so she'll swoop under them and catch them. Lift them right back up again. Take them right back up into the heavenlies where the eagles belong. She's right there. She's not going to let them fall. They might say, Mama, take me back to the nest. No, you're not going back to the nest. You were meant to fly. But this trial is so hard. But you're meant to fly. Amen. You were meant to overcome it. I've been feeding you. I've been nourishing you. I've been growing you and protecting you and raising you up for this purpose. Amen. So pretty soon she dumps them. They're falling, flapping. She catches them, takes them up again. Does it again, encouraging them the whole time. Brother, sister, I'm so glad. I'm so thankful tonight that we have a Father who's watching over us. Amen. Do you have a revelation tonight that nothing can happen to you? Nothing can happen to you. There is nothing that crosses your path, that comes into your life, but what our Father has allowed it. Amen. And he's right there to bear you up on eagle's wings. And he's got a purpose behind. Oh, I'm so thankful for that tonight. Oh, I'm so happy about that. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, that just takes all the worry and concern away. It doesn't matter how bad you flop. It doesn't matter how hard you're falling, how scared you get. He's right there. He won't let you hit the ground. Amen. He'll lift you back up again. That's all right, honey child. Try again. Pretty soon, and encourages you. That Mama Eagle keeps encouraging. It's okay. Just keep, do what I do. Look at me. Don't get your eyes on the ground. Don't be looking at the crows or the chickens down there. Look at me. Look at how I do it. Keep your eyes on Mama Eagle. Amen. Pretty soon they start doing what she's doing, and they might just catch a little bit, and not quite there. Pick them up again. But the next time, something catches. Now, they're soaring like eagles. Now, they're still going to make mistakes. She's going to watch over them until they're fully mature, fully grown. And then they'll soar the way they were supposed to. Brother, sister, we're preparing to take a flight to a new body. Amen. We ought to be crying out tonight. Lord, let your word circumcise me. Lord, I want to be right. Let your word take complete control of me. Take away my unbelief. Take away anything that's not pleasing to you. Amen. We're going to have a word of prayer here tonight. But brother, sister, this time, this little time here tonight, this could be the time for you to receive what you need. You might have been thirsting and hungering for something for some time. Don't know what it is. Don't know what would fulfill it. What would satisfy it. But he knows. He knows all about it. He knows just what you need. You say, well, I go to church. I'm here every service. I'm here service after service. I was here last Sunday. I was here last Wednesday. But maybe tonight. Maybe tonight, he's got that spiritual food that you need. Maybe tonight, if you come with the right attitude, you can receive what you have need of. Only he knows. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you so much tonight, Lord. Lord, for your life that you've given to us. Lord, and yet you're continuing to pour out upon us, Lord. Oh, Lord, tonight we just want to surrender to you, Lord. Lord, I want to partake, Lord, of your spiritual food tonight, Lord. I don't want to be filled up by the things of earth and of this world. I don't want to be satisfied, Lord, just hanging out in the nest, Father. I want to soar with you, my Papa Eagle, Lord. We're looking to take a flight someday, Lord. Lord, we've got some growing to do yet. So we're here tonight, Lord, to receive what we have need of. Only you know, Lord. Only you can speak directly to each heart. Lord, I pray that you would do that right now, Lord. To each heart that's hungering and thirsting, Lord. Even now, Lord, as we would just lift our hands and say, God, I need you, Lord. I need you more. Lord, I've got a hunger. I've got a thirst. I can't explain it any more than I can explain my natural hunger. I just know, Lord, there's a need, Lord. There's something unfulfilled, Lord. There's something causing me to hunger and thirst. Maybe I need more strength for the journey, Lord. Maybe I just need more faith. Whatever it is, you cry out to him tonight. He's promised to meet your need. Not your wants, but your needs. He's promised to meet that spiritual hunger in your life. He said, blessed are you that hunger and thirst, for you shall be filled. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would just move in your body here tonight, Lord, as you prepare us, Lord, for that body. Making us in your image, Lord. Providing spiritual food in due season. Lord, we just love you. We honor you. Forgive us, Lord, for our spiritual junk food eating habits, Lord. May we look to you for all things. May we look to the hidden manna, Lord. May we be encouraged, Lord. I pray that you would encourage each one here tonight. Oh God, that you've got it all in control. That you're making us into your image, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we love you tonight, Lord. We surrender to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him for a few minutes here tonight. It doesn't take long for him to come and serve you tonight, to feed your soul if you've got the right attitude. Hallelujah. Come live in me all my life. Take over.